questions you always had, the answers you were never given, the place to seek the truth. Welcome to Veritas.
How would you feel if you knew that an untested technology is being deployed with no government oversight, no transparency, no public input, no regulations, and no long-term studies on health and environmental impacts? How would you feel if you knew sensors are rolling out to be installed in everything, from clothing, appliances, building materials, automobiles, cosmetics, toys, computers, furniture, etc., turning our world into the Internet of Things as a component of this untested technology? How would you feel living in a virtual reality where every single object and living thing is connected into a wireless global network, allowing every single thing we do to be completely monitored and controlled, collecting every bit of data about our lives as we go about our day? Ultimately, all this information will be sold and hacked to corporations, nations, and various alphabet agencies to be analyzed, synthesized, and made available for anyone to do as they please. Because this new untested millimeter wave frequency, known as 5G, is currently being quietly deployed under the radar. Pun intended. The unregulated fitment of 5G hazardous technologies across your towns, cities, and countryside has started in total disregard of the law by local government agencies and authorities that include known hazardous LED lighting systems, a carrier technology for the 5G coverage radiation emission blanket. Greetings, I'm your host, Mel Fabregas. And if you're new to the Veritas family, welcome home. To listen to tonight's full interview and all of our material, just click on the subscribe button. And don't forget to visit the Veritas store for MMS, hemp oil, pure organic sulfur, and much more. And if you want to get in touch with me, want to be a guest on this radio program, have a guest suggestion, or have feedback, just click on the contact button of our website at veritasradio.com. Tonight's special guest is Mark Steele. Mark has worked in research and development projects for over 30 years and is a patent writer inventor and has a number of patents in head-up display and weapon imaging systems. From his own words, "My local authority, Gateshead Council, has orchestrated a criminal case and civil cases to silence me, rather than use of taxpayers' money to launch a civil court action in an attempt to take away my freedom of speech and gag me, failed, and they are now attempting once again to use the legal system to silence me." His website is saveusnow.org.uk. And to tell us more, Mark Steele joins us directly from Northern England. Hello, Mark, and welcome to Veritas. How are you?
Hi, Mel. Well, under the circumstances, I'm holding up, but it's difficult in a number of different ways, because obviously, you know, I with the best intentions, made my local authority in Gateshead aware of the LED, the dangers of these experimental technology, including LED street lighting, certain designs that are pretty problematic.
Let me just give the audience some background as how this conversation happened. Some of our listeners brought your name to my attention just a couple of days ago. And as I usually do, I review the website, I look into your research, and I decided to make contact. And I proposed a date sometime in May, and you said to me, "Well, I don't think I'll be available those dates and perhaps even in the future." And I asked you why, and you said, "Perhaps I'll be in prison, and maybe we should conduct this interview ASAP. So this is an unscheduled, unplanned interview. What is going on, Mark?
What actually happened, Mel, you know, for a lot of the listeners there, 5G is in point of fact, it's a web system. It's not telecommunications.
Try to get closer to your computer, to your microphone.
Yeah. It's the 5G is actually a weapon system. It's not as most people would believe it to be, and I know that sounds unbelievable. A lot of people believe it to have something to do with telecommunications. It's not that. 5G is a sophisticated piece of armory that's used on the battle space, has been used for a number of years. So this you know, this technology is very sophisticated, has been used in battle space to attack people. The reason I know of it is because I invent products that mitigate this type of microwave radiation and what's called direct energy weaponry on the battlefield. Because I've got a number of inventions, head-up display systems. Obviously, pilots can be attacked with this type of equipment. So the, one of the reasons why they have head-up display systems in aircraft, and then also another reason why there's a drive across the West to fully automate, to have autonomous vehicles on the battlefield, because the toxicity levels from these type of weapons are so severe, in fact, it's one of the reasons why a significant number of troops who've actually operated in these theatres of war over the last few years come home and commit suicide. And one of the main reasons for that, they've actually got brain injury, neurological disorders and brain injury from these type of weapon systems. So basically systems that interrogate battle space can in fact be very, very toxic to neurological systems, that neurogenotoxic. Recent Israeli study shows that, you know, troops being exposed to this, what we call phased array radar systems and direct energy weapon systems, or, you know, develop cancers, neurological disorders, etc. And this equipment's been around for a long, long time. So you can imagine, I was pretty surprised when we had this new LED streetlight fitted, and I had, I'd had a couple of very strange nights. Couldn't sleep. I normally sleep very, very well. And I had a neighbour, one in particular, on the door, and said since the lights had been installed, she had developed nosebleeds. I knew immediately that was not correct. You can't get nosebleeds from LED streetlights. However, I noticed there was a small antenna on the top of the streetlight. And I thought, well, you know, I couldn't believe that anybody would put anything strong enough or powerful enough fitted to a streetlight that would cause someone to have nosebleeds. Radar operators get nosebleeds. We know of that. That's well documented. And so do people who have large amounts of microwave radiation. It causes a thing called relay. Basically blood stacking, and that creates people to have nosebleeds. So anyway, this lady had had nosebleeds. I still wasn't really convinced. So what I did, I brought a meter from work, and I measured the radiation in her bedroom. It was 2,000 millivolts. That's pretty toxic. The maximum I can expose a person to, it's the Council of Europe direction, so the national courts have said 200 millivolts, and she was at 2,000. So she was 10 times over what would be deemed safe. So significantly higher than what would be deemed safe, and that you would be in breach of building regulations and codes. Basically building, and that's what this technology has actually achieved. So we have 31,875 of these high gain dielectric lens antennas situated in a very, very small area called Gateshead. So basically what the local authority have done, they've built the area into a microwave oven. Now, a little bit later on, I hadn't actually physically seen one of these antennas, and I ended up getting my hands on one. One of the lighting people from the council had ended up passing one to me, as he was telling me that these were perfectly safe. Unfortunately, on inspection of the product, I realised that it wasn't just a very powerful transmission network. I realised that it was, in fact, a weapon system.
So you're saying, Mark, you're saying that these lights, these LED lights, the antennas that they have on top, that's actually a 5G?
That is absolutely 5G. 5G, 5G first and foremost operates in a sub-gigahertz range. Now, you'll hear lots of the mainstream narrative talk about higher frequencies, higher data rates. I'm going to tell everybody now, and anybody that listens to this, first and foremost, 5G is a weapon. It's not about your telecommunications, and it's not about downloading speeds on the computers, etc. This is here to kill. This is masquerading as control management systems, smart meters, all these devices, all this smart. Smart stands for secret militarized armaments and residential technology. So anybody who's got any smart devices, just be warned.
Repeat the acronym again, because I've said it a long time. Smart is not smart, but repeat the acronym.
It's secret militarized armaments and residential technology. So SMART actually stands for equipment that's been developed for the battle space. So all SMART devices are significant issues attached to them. Most of the technology was developed to fight a war, whether it's data gathering, whether it's, you know, whether it can actually attack a person. All the frequencies are problematic. It can be used specifically to attack certain sort of organs, certain parts of the body. Lots of these signals. I mean, the military have been testing these signal systems for that potency and that lethality for very, very many years. In fact, this goes back to the 40s. You know, these signal systems were tested on people in camps. This technology obviously became a lot more sophisticated, a lot more developed, so where you had very large weapon systems, they're then, you know, the sort of thing you can actually put into a suitcase now. So, you know, things have moved on significantly. So these antennas, how I knew the antenna was part of a weapon system and not a telecommunications, it had what's called a dielectric lens. So this particular antenna is a target acquiring weapon system. So what it does, it's a scanner. So it can scan its environment, it picks out a target, and then it has what's called a dielectric lens, and that dielectric lens can deliver a focused microwave radiation signal. Similar to, you know, for lay people, very similar to, let's say, a laser. It's basically called a maser, and it's what's called a direct energy weapon. So you can actually collimate a signal, so you can pull a lot of energy through air into a very small area. Well, that then becomes a weapon, and that weapon can be used. Now, the reason for these particular antennas, they're supposed to be for autonomous cars. So let's say if you get an autonomous car, the antenna picks up, you can 3D map its environment, it picks up the autonomous car and it fires this large database signal, supposedly, at the vehicle. But what I'm going to tell everybody, autonomous cars are a complete and utter scam. They're there for one reason, to justify the rollout of this weapon. And because obviously somebody's got to fit these, somebody's got to design them, somebody's got to be told somewhere along the line. It's basically how you compartmentalize people developing this technology so they don't know what's really going on. Yeah. Because obviously, you know, you get people fit these pieces of equipment, and a lot of them believe the narrative that it's got something to do with autonomous cars. Well, I'm going to tell people autonomous cars are a scam. Now, we know that because obviously the radar from one vehicle would be pretty problematic. By the time you had 30 or 40 vehicles, all emitting microwave radiation and radar, whether it be LIDAR, so it's a laser radar cross, or whether it be some of that type of microwave radiation phased array signal system from an autonomous car, from one vehicle it would be problematic. In fact, BMW did a study and they've ascertained at least, they've actually got evidence of at least two people's pacemakers being affected by vehicles, you know, when they're actually reversing and doing this automated parking thing. Well, they've actually got issues of people's pacemakers being affected by that. Now, obviously, that's pretty life-threatening. However, that's a radar signal that's traveling at very, very low speed. Obviously, when you're reversing a vehicle in, you're not traveling at speed. So as soon as you start to travel at speed, then obviously the power density, you really do have to get some radiation out there from your vehicle. Now, one vehicle, let's say it wouldn't be too problematic, wouldn't be very good, but it wouldn't be very dangerous either. Imagine having 50 cars on a motorway, or 100, all pouring out microwave radiation, whether it be laser or laser radiation. So you've got LIDAR systems. LIDAR systems are pretty problematic. These are on the top of a battle tank, by the way. They're used for to do battlefield interrogation. However, if somebody's sitting up the hill with a pair of binoculars or a telescopic sight, and that Class 1 laser catches that sight, it'll put your eye out. So therefore, has anybody warned anybody about the autonomous vehicles that are driving about, not to look at them through a pair of binoculars? Or whatever you do, don't look at them through a telescopic sight, because that would be really, really dangerous. But nobody's warned anybody. So we've got this technology being tested on the people and on the roads, and it's a scam, because it's basically so they can roll a weapon system out on top of you and harm you. Because nobody can tell me that somebody hasn't done the multiplication. This is one of the things that I find unbelievable. All these devices are tested. I mean, not 5G. The 5G antenna's not tested. It would fail any regulatory guideline and test. And that's what we found from the recent congressional hearing where Senator Blumenthal asked the industry if 5G had actually been tested or if there was any safety data. And the industry, the FCC and the FDA have actually admitted that there isn't any. The reason why there isn't any and the reason why it wasn't tested is because it's off the battlefield. And it would never pass a test. It's never going to pass any test. So that's why you wouldn't test it. And especially, well, it wouldn't pass a test for safety, let's put it like that. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. You build a weapon system and then expect it to pass a safety test, but it's just absolutely crazy. I mean, if anybody wants to go and, you know, there's a video there, 5G Apocalypse, I suggest people go and watch that. You'll get some understanding, but I'm going to say one thing to people. Don't believe a word I say. Not one word. Due to cognitive dissonance, because of the information that I'm handing over here, it is unbelievable. I find it unbelievable. So consequently, if I find it unbelievable and I'm a weapons expert, then everybody else will. So what I'm saying to people is, the information I'm handing over, do your own research. You'll find it's absolutely terrifying. So the local authority, they roll this equipment out. I then bring it to their attention. It caused me a significant number of issues. Our police at the door, basically, what you could class as gang stalking. And then what happened, we ended up in court. The council stated that I was a fearmonger and I was scaring people and I was scaring vulnerable people in the community by telling them that this equipment would kill them. That's what I was telling the truth. And they took me to court, gagged me. They wanted to take away my freedom of speech. People might find that pretty bizarre. But this is, you know, this is England. Anyway, the judge saw good sense and he wouldn't gag me. He basically said to counsel, you must debate this and you must debate the risks of 5G. Because what he came out in that court case where he realised that I was in fact an expert in this particular field, where the council had said the science I'd sent to them and the technical details I'd sent to them didn't amount to anything.
By the way, Mark, I don't mean to interrupt you, but what is happening in your country with freedom of speech? I'm thinking of Tommy Robinson and I'm thinking of other people. What's happening to freedom of speech?
Well, it's a total takedown. I mean, obviously the British judicial system's on trial here. I mean, to be fair, the judge in the first case, he did refuse to gag me, and he actually stated against it, counsel, this is democracy in action. And he warned them that they must open up the democratic process, because once I'd actually found out what was going on, and you can understand from the council's perspective, they're running for the hills. I mean, this is the sort of thing where they'd end up in prison. Yeah, so and I actually stated that in the council chamber. I actually said to them, you know, that I said to the chief executive, when this all comes out, you're going to prison. And I meant it. Because they'd already had all of the scientific documentary evidence off me to show that this will kill. This is a reckless environmental crime that they've committed. It's through stupidity, greed, or whatever you want to call it. However, I expected when I sent them the documentary scientific evidence, the published evidence on this, and the technical data that I have, I expected them to do something about it because they have a duty of care. The law is absolutely on my side. However, you know, the council have used the law in a very, very, not the correct way. And they've ended up trying to take me back to court. And the next time I go back to court, it's on the 9th of May, and they want to send me to prison because they want to gag me. They want to shut me up. Want to shut down the freedom of speech by sending me to jail. Because obviously you can't do a great deal from there. And they're trying to shut down my campaign where I'm warning people in this country that unless we stop 5G, we'll die.
But if you go on trial, I'm not sure exactly how the law operates there, but I believe it's somewhat similar to here. If you go there, don't you have to provide your evidence and they have to hear it?
That's well. What the council have actually applied to the courts to have all of my evidence struck out. Unbelievable. They've actually written to the court to ask for my evidence to be struck out. Now, whether a judge allows them to strike that evidence out will remain to be seen. I'm hoping that he doesn't. And obviously, we have all the evidence to show that what I'm saying is correct. How they ended up taking me back to court is because I wrote to every councillor So all our elected councillors and officials, I wrote to all of them and I basically warned them that they were in breach of the law. They broke a number of laws. This was a human rights crime and that they would be held accountable, right? It's called, it's about Arbiters and Abettors Act, where they wouldn't hold the executive, because they, the law is pretty straightforward. They have a duty to hold the executive to account. And in this instance, they have totally, I don't know what the executives at this council have on the councillors, but I can only imagine it must be pretty juicy, because not one single councillor wrote back to me and questioned. And I mean, these people live in the community and this technology will kill. In fact, I think the headline in one of the local press here said, you know, the argument goes on about the baby killing technology, and we can show that this type of technology will kill babies. It has annihilated all the small flying pollinators. You know, we've got no small birds, no small pollinators. So the answer for the councils, these authorities, is to get you into court to shut you up. So that's really their approach to a problem. So basically, it's an attack on the country. It's an attack on the freedom of speech. It's an attack on you know, Magna Carta and all the things, you know, basically the British Constitution. And what they've done in this instance, they've refused the first judge who wouldn't gag me. The council have actually stated in court will not allow him to. So they're telling the courts they won't allow him to oversee the case. They want another judge to oversee it. And they also have applied to the courts to have all my evidence taken out. Absolutely bizarre.
When, why did you get involved with this?
I got involved, it was September 2016 when the lights arrived. I always knew, you know, optical radiation is a known hazard. We know that artificial light's not the safest thing in the world. And I know that some of these LED streetlights and different pulse modulations can be pretty problematic. However, I actually have blackout blinds. I know that problematic, but all of a sudden we had this new light system fitted. Obviously it cost multiple millions of pounds. And I thought, hang on a minute, that's a bit strange. So all of a sudden we've got this whole lightning array and there'd be no public consultation. Nobody just arrived. I thought that's a bit strange. There's nothing said about anything. Never seen about it. Didn't think anything of it more than that. Apart from when my neighbour knocked on the door and she confirmed that since the lights had been fitted, she'd started to develop nosebleeds, and absolutely prolific nosebleeds. When she showed me some of the pictures, there was a lot of clotting, a lot of very sticky, clotty blood, which to me looked very much like Relay. And, you know, just something I'd actually heard about and seen before. I then spoke to another neighbour who was only a week and a half later, another lady who lived with these transmitters. I mean, the closest transmitter to me on the top of the lights, about 30 metres. But this lady, this poor lady, she's got one at about 7 or 8 metres from her bedroom window. The next lady I spoke to, I was telling her in a retail park, well, actually in a retail park, and I said to her, you know about this neighbour saying that the LED streetlights are causing her nosebleeds. And she turned around and said to me, well, I've never had nosebleeds in my life until I put those LED streetlights and I'm getting nosebleeds as well. On further investigation around the doors, we ended up with children having nosebleeds, people couldn't sleep, people bad heads, sore eyes, short-term memory loss, shoulder pain, and you know, all the sort of things that are attributed to microwave radiation, toxic microwave radiation pollution.
So it's not the LED light per se. Could it be the transmitter that's causing the nosebleeds and everything else?
Oh, it's absolutely the transmitter that's causing nosebleeds. The LED streetlights are also toxic to flying pollinators. The thing with LED streetlights, really, as long as you've got protective eyewear or you cover your skin up, so as long as you cover your skin up, protect your eyes from it, it's pretty innocuous. And obviously that frequency in the terahertz range, good blackout blinds, pretty safe. You know, you can protect yourself from it. What you can't do was protect yourself from the sub-gigahertz. So this blanket 5G coverage, can't protect yourself from that. This is long-range radar signals we're talking about. This is for urban environment scanning, basically scanning the urban environment. And you can't protect yourself from it. In the design of this particular antenna, it can actually shoot a signal at you. You can aim, and it can shoot at you or at other targets. Obviously, you're supposed to be an autonomous car. But I'm questioning whether that is, in fact, the case. And it is, in fact, this is a weapon system that's been rolled out across the West to kill en masse people who live in this country, in the USA.
And that is the question that many people have. But before I ask you why this is a extinction-level event, which is what it seems, an end game, final solution, when I think of chemtrails, I think of smart meters, I think of 5G, LED. Is there a relationship between all these items?
All interconnected. All interconnected. If you look at the aluminium in the chemtrails, anybody who puts any aluminium in a microwave oven, just see what happens. I'm not saying anybody do that,
right,
but you can go on YouTube and watch it, you know, where people put aluminium in. Ridiculous, by the way, but you basically explode it. Well, if I pour a lot of aluminium particulates in the air and then I switch on what's called an EMP, so electromagnetic pulse, an EMP, so I'll put in pour a lot of energy all at the same time into that area, you'll end up with something like Paradox. So what you'll do is you'll just explode the homes. So you take all the homes down, anything that's got any electrical equipment, anything that's charged, so any hydrocarbon-based product, humans included, and just basically vaporize you. So when you look at the images in Paradox, I'm pretty sure that was just a part of an EMP attack. Whether it was an attack or was accidental, I'm pretty sure it was accidental. I know there's people have showed me images of direct energy weapons being used in that area. But what I'm going to tell everybody, direct energy weapons operate in the non-visible spectrum. To see one, to me, would be very, very suspicious, because it would be like trying to assassinate somebody and using tracer bullets. So that would be pretty silly. So I don't know why anybody wanted to do that. So when I actually did actually see images of direct energy weapons being used in that area, I think it's a smokescreen. I think it's a smokescreen to cover up the fact that this smart, whether it be a test or whether it was just inadvertent, where all these homes and people just basically just vaporized and disappeared. But that was an accident, and what they don't want people to find out what it really is until the full kill grid is fully in place. And then obviously they pull the switch and obviously everybody's leaves the planet at the same time.
You're saying that this technology has been around for a long time, military technology. Would it be safe to say that this probably was used in the past? Let me just put a couple of examples. 1995, the Oklahoma City bombing. 9/11. Could this technology have been used there?
Absolutely. Well, I'm pretty sure that 9/11. I mean, the dust cloud that ran across Manhattan. I think that was pretty evidential that a possible direct energy weapon was used in that instance.
But you need a transmitter. You're saying, where was the transmitter? Because some people say, oh, it's a platform and satellite. Other people say there is a 747. A white plane flying above. Don't you need a transmitter in order to transmit the energy in order to cause this?
Yeah. Well, what you do, you have a ground weapon. So you've got a ground-based transmitter. All right. It focuses up on something in the air, whether it be a satellite, whether it be ionosphere, because you can actually use these over the horizon weapon systems by bouncing a signal off the ionosphere. You just need something to reflect it off.
To bounce
satellites
it.
Satellites are pretty good. Yeah. Or something even a bit closer, a plane could possibly be, or just use the ionosphere. And, you know, if you've got a lot of aluminium in there, then that's going to be a bit of an issue. To help to be able to interrogate. I mean, if for an over-horizon weapon system, let's say the thing that built, and I think this is why the CIA, there was a there was an article in the Times just the other day about the CIA being very, very upset about the rollout of the Chinese 5G in the UK. Well, I'd be pretty upset because the UK could be used as a ground base weapon to attack the US.
But wait a second. You said 5G Chinese technology. Are you claiming 5G is technology from China?
Well, that's the press that we're getting at the minute. There's a massive argument in the UK and also with the US intelligence community about the rollout of Chinese technology, 5G technology in the UK. As we speak, it's on all the front pages, being the talk of the in the mainstream press. What they're not saying, they're saying it's all about spying, they're concerned about spying. What they're not mentioning is the fact that 5G is actually a weapon. It is and can interrogate, but it mainly has a primary function as a weapon.
So with China?
From China.
From China. But have they rolled out this in China and any other country, say South Korea?
South Korea switched on, I think it was April the 26th. South Korea tested the 5G weapon, I think it was in the Winter Olympics. And people can go and look this up. It's in Bloomberg. Just type in Winter Olympics shooting wild boar. You'll find it. It's still on Google. It hasn't been removed. And what they were doing, they were using the 5G array to target acquire a wild boar in the jungle and shoot them. Right. So that's pretty interesting because, you know, when you test weapon systems, test them on porcine. You know, if you've got a new type of munition, you always, you know, test them on porcine because it looks very much like humans when you sort of dismantle and chop them up and do a test. So the test in South Korea was on the wild boar in the jungle. Basically target acquiring and shooting them, that would be quite an interesting bit of data gathering. And then, just on, like I said, on the 26th of April, I believe, if I've got my dates correct, they switched on the 5G and they had five separate city fires. There was a national emergency in South Korea. I don't know if the news got into the US, but there was sort of some sporadic information that we got, where there was talk of a fire at a transformer. Well, electrical fires can be caused by this type of microwave radiation emission. There's images of vehicle fires where there's no, you know, the sort of dressed up and said a bit like California said it was a forest fire. He's on forest fires. I'm pretty positive about that. In fact, we've got some very, very interesting images that absolutely show that it's not forest fire. It was never a forest fire and was, in fact, because they switched to 5G on the same day, had five separate city fires.
You know, this is starting to make sense to me. I'm not a scientist, but I remember in December, you may have seen the video footage from the United States and elsewhere, in New York, in Massachusetts, I believe other states, in Mexico, in Brazil. You saw these transformers blow up, what looked to be blowing up, but I didn't see the lights go out, and you see the blue streaks of light going everywhere. Could it be that that was the moment when they turned on 5G?
Could possibly be. You know, microwave radiation, you know, let's go to the basic physics of it. It's energy in air. So if I increase energy in air, what happens? I increase the temperature. So you can see the temperature rise. You know, they're all talking about global warming. Well, you put, you know, a couple of billion extra antennas out there pumping microwave radiation out, temperature's going to go up, believe us. So temperature goes up, that all fits in with a nice little narrative, and you are breaking down materials and fatiguing, you know, you've got pulse modulated energy waves, so you have fatiguing materials in the environment. So bridges will fail, buildings will fail, because none of the, you know, nuclear reactors will fail. You'll break down concrete walls, steel materials. The more dense the material, the more the effect. So where these microwave radiation pass through humans and do significant damage, when they hit more dense materials, then there's obviously there's more absorption there. So the energy actually gets more absorbed into concrete, stainless steel. Now, what's actually happened, these materials, on the face of it, you think, well, you know, these are really hard materials. It's not going to break down that quickly. That's only if you don't hit certain specific frequencies. And when you've got millions of these antennas all emitting cross-wave frequencies, what we're talking about here is where you get waves crossing over each other, and then you start to see some other really interesting characteristics. Now, if I hit certain frequencies, everybody's seen the bridge where it just starts to oscillate at the right frequency and collapses. Well, that's a very good analogy for the concrete in your concrete wall around your nuclear reactor. If you start to hit some frequencies that are problematic to concrete, and obviously the more antenna you have, the more potential you have to hit those specific frequencies where you'll see disassociation of covalent bonds. So it's not impossible that you could destroy the infrastructure in your own city from 5G, because 5G, basically, one of its technical parameters, more, billions more. I think, was it Tom Wheeler said, if it can be connected, they're going to connect it. What he didn't tell you was, nobody's done any tests sure that it's safe. Nobody's done any tests to go, well, what's going to happen when you've got these billions of antennas all emitting microwave radiation, but they've only got a test for one. You test one antenna in a lab, see if it's safe. So what actually happens when you just introduce a couple of billion or a couple of hundred thousand or a couple of million antennas in the city? It's going to start to break them.
To me, it sounds like a massive microwave. But, you know, I'm not an electrical engineer, but I can tell you that if you put a cable in a bathtub or a pool, electricity goes, it's really powerful. If you touch wood, it doesn't happen. Could it be that chemtrails all these last couple of decades have been making our atmosphere more conductive? And more this conductive. Is the reason why more conductive, because it will be the transmission of these 5G towers would be more effective with a more conductive atmosphere?
Well, I think it's more reflective. It's what actually happens with the, I believe that the, one of the aspects of these ground weapon systems, so basically over the horizon weaponry, if I wanted to look at a city, let's say I'm in the UK and I want to have a look and see what's happening in Moscow, I fire the signal up into the ionosphere, bounce it and organize it so that it would hit in and around the city, and then I'd get a reflection back from that. Now, if I've got more aluminium I can reflect it off, then I'm going to get a better, more precise signal coming back. You know, you're not going to lose as much of the information that you require. So the more particulate contaminants you've got in air, the better the reflection. So it's more sophisticated.
Almost like a 3D radar painting the picture?
Absolutely, it's 3D radar. That's exactly what it is. It's 3D radar.
So with the particles in the air, then you can, and this was told to me over 10 years ago by somebody else who passed away, who I just didn't understand the concept back then, but he said in the battlefield, if you have this weaponry, you'll be able to paint a picture of the enemy's area.
That's exactly what you can, because they're called over the horizon weapon systems, and that's why I was really suspicious about the antennas that were having Gator, because they were sub gigahertz. When I first actually investigated that, you know, because obviously I believed that the 5G was all about higher data rates. And then when I realized that the blanket coverage was actually a long-range radar system, I thought, blinking it, what's all this about? And obviously since then, that was in the, you know, in 2018. And obviously since then, 2016, and now I've realized, you know, that I think it was about 2017, 2018 when they decided, the industry then said that they were going to use sub gigahertz for the blanket coverage. But it was before that that I realized that this must be 5G. I mean, why would they be doing that? So we'd already stated that 5G was operating the sub gigahertz. And I got a lot of sort of back chatter, you know, from lots of different quarters. He doesn't know what he's talking about. 5G's this, 5G's that. And I was going, no, 5G's sub gig. Absolutely. And a lot of people said, no, can it be? It's not what, you know, it is. the recent ruling on the part of the spectrum that they're using for 5G, 700 to 900 megahertz. So sub gig, long range radar, it fits with everything. It's not all it is. I mean, obviously 5G is a lot of many things. I had some US government people send me some pictures the other day of equipment that's rolling out in the US, believe it or not. This is quite an interesting story. I got roped into going to a carbon capture and storage conference. I was working for one of the big oil and gas companies, and I got roped into going and have a look at this technology. It wasn't really my shout, but I ended up having to go, and I realized the whole thing was a scam, another scam. And I thought, well, I think I've got an idea, because I know about covalent bonds and I know about materials. I'm a bit of an inventor. I've got lots of inventions. There's a lot of my inventions were never published, but obviously they're still there. They're still, you know, they're just not in the public domain. The reason for that is because we never got to the point where we raised the finance to be able to take them forward. There's no point publishing patents. It's a very expensive thing to do if it's not going to be used commercially. And obviously, I come up with ideas all the time. I've got lift boat inventions, exit and tool inventions, basically filing gas. I've got a number of head-up display systems, weapon sight systems inventions, thermal imaging inventions, etc. So there's no real point taking them forward unless you actually get commercial money. And what actually happened, I was at this conference, this carbon capture conference, and thought, I haven't invented something that fixes. So I invented what I call a carbon cracker. It's to break the covalent, the CO2 covalent bond. And I thought, I'll build this, we'll put it into a flue. And obviously we'll capture the carbon, because carbon's got a value, and they'll have oxygen coming out the top of the flue. Save all this sequestration and pumping CO2, supposedly, to a site and pumping it underground. So, I mean, the whole thing, like I said before, it's a scam. And so I come up with this idea, went to Strathclyde University, spoke to a professor there. We spent a couple of days having a look at it, did a bit of a feasibility study on it, and lo and behold, it was a go. So what we did, I put some patents in, and then what we did, we then went to look for the resources, working with the university to establish and develop the prototype, so then we could take it further. And what actually happened, we just couldn't get any bite. Couldn't get a bite to actually raise any sort of, and nobody wanted to know. And I then realized the reason why nobody wanted to know was because there's $30 billion worth of assets in the North Sea that need to be decommissioned. And isn't it going to be a lot better to use it for something else? And then you don't have to decommission it, because nobody really can afford to decommission. So there was a great urgency to keep the assets the way they were, instead of me fixing the so-called carbon dioxide issue, which we know is another complete nonsense anyway. But it would have, you know, fixed that problem. So I knew what they looked like. There's obviously these radiators that you use for disassociation of covalent bonds. They're pretty chunky pieces of equipment. And you need coolers. So the radiators need to be cooled. You need cooler pipes. You need cooling systems. And I was sent some images of what these US government people said were not telecoms, and they asked my opinion what they were. Well, it was my invention, wasn't it? And I said, well, it's a molecular reactor. It's to change the constituents of air. Now, some quite interesting frequencies you can use to change the constituents of air. 60 gigahertz is one. 60 gigahertz is quite interesting because it attenuates and gets stuck in it. And if you pour enough PD in, and you pulse modulate it specific, and I wouldn't tell anybody what that was, you can actually break the covalent bond. Now, if you break the covalent bond of the oxygen molecule, and then the oxygen atoms, and those oxygen atoms will attach with other oxygen molecules, which gives you O3. And O3 will kill all life at 50 parts per million. So what I've actually got images of are devices fitted to street lamps and equipment across telegraph poles across the US here, which are basically there to gas people. Now they're going to change the constituents. Now, these aren't telecoms. So 5G is not a telecom system.
You're opening doors here, Mark, because I'm thinking of all the nanoparticles that may be floating in the air at any given time. We're floating in this electromagnetic soup, but we have these particles too. And I've also been told that every disease has a certain type of frequency. So if you have nanoparticles there and you have these transmitters, could they theoretically change these particles to emulate a disease, and those who breathe it in a certain region may be able to contract it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You could mimic a disease. You can actually lower people's immune system.
Mimic it.
Yeah. You could mimic a disease. You could actually reduce a person's immune system to a disease. You know, obviously humans are pretty sophisticated. So, you know, in the past when, you know, we've been someone's trying to wipe out, you know, with these swine flu viruses, what actually happens, the human bio very, very quickly organizes itself as a defense. Obviously, if you want to take that down, if you want to take the operating system down, then what you have to do is you have to attack it in a number of different ways. So these signal systems most certainly can and will be able to be used to attack all biological life. It won't just be humans, by the way. It's all biological life, a total annihilation event. This is an existential threat. This is an existential threat to humanity. 5G is a killer. Now, I've heard a lot of different narratives about, you know, certain types of 5G may not be as risky. Well, all the bits of 5G I've seen, if it's not in a cable, it's not really safe. There probably is some, you know, inventions out there that haven't been developed, but I'm going to say the stuff that is being developed is what I call killer tech. I call it killer tech for a reason. It'll kill you. So it sounds great. Like a lot of these gaming headsets, they're pretty lethal. Porn optical radiation, pulse modulated, full spectrum optical radiation, a person's eye through a magnifying glass. That's a new one on me. I mean, in a weapons sight, there's a 560 nanometer. That's why weapons sights are green. They're less biologically hazardous. And what you don't want to do is train a pilot, spend multiples of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands training pilots and then giving them eye cancer. I mean, that wouldn't be a very good idea, would it? And that's the reason why you use a weapon sight that operates in the 560 nanometers frequency, because it is safer. It does have some issues. It's a lot safer for somebody to actually have it used as a weapon display.
Let me ask you this, because a lot of people think that 5G is the end game, but I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're trying to put each generation shift in the wireless industry every 5 years. So 2015 with 4G, 5G in 2020 and being rolled out before that, then 6G in 2025. And, you know, they even have right now all the plans and the connections for 6G even before rolling out 5G. Have you heard that?
I've heard that and I don't believe it. 6G is a smokescreen. And I think that everybody that mentions, we won't get past 5G and we won't get past 2021. That's how existential this threat is. This is a extinction level event. Absolutely. And it's coming in 2021. What they're doing, they're building the equipment out now at pace. And how I know that, now, you know, anybody that finds this difficult to believe, go and have a look. The American Medical Association did an article on LED streetlights. Obviously, LED streetlights, the carrier equipment for these weapon systems. Because obviously, light radiation, I can pulse modulate, make you sick. I can pulse modulate, make you have a fit. So that's part of a weapon system called SoftKit. All right. So the LED streetlights, it's part of the carrier for these phased array, whether they're over the horizon weapon systems, or whether they specifically do target acquire and shoot an individual in the street. those two operations can be carried out with the LED street lighting system. So the, you know, that's the American Medical Association have stated that these devices or these LED streetlights are dangerous. So why is your local councils, we call them councils here, what's the local townships, why are they rolling this LED streetlight now when the American Medical Association, AMA, ANZIS, Public Health England actually said the LED streetlights, these blue phosphor-coated flicker, another name for pulse modulation, these blue phosphor flicker LED streetlights are dangerous to children. The councils are rolling them out on top of you. They've only been in Barcelona less than 3 years and have doubled the breast and prostate cancer. There's 20 institutions in Spain have actually done a study in Barcelona to ascertain why the increase in breast and prostate cancer. And lo and behold, it's the blue phosphor-coated LED streetlights that have been identified as the cause. So why is your council, why is your government rolling this stuff out?
But have they linked it? Have they linked, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, have they linked those cancers to the blue LED lights?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We know that, you know, 450, 460 nanometer lights, very, very powerful. If you pulse modulate it, where you've got a stop-start square wave, it's very, very toxic to life, very toxic to cells. It's exactly what they've rolled out on the streets outside your home. And they know it's dangerous. Light radiation, artificial light radiation, is a classified hazard. That's why all light emitters have to be fully risk assessed. These things haven't been risk assessed. These things haven't been tested. These things, if you test them in a laboratory, you'll show that they're toxic to animals. So it's experimental, in breach of the Nuremberg Code, crime against humanity. So what's going on? So if people do their research in that regard, go and have a look at the LED streetlights, go and have a look at AMA, that's the American Medical Association, ANZIS is the French safety people, Health Protection England, have all made SHEA, which SHEA is the Emerging Risks Team in Europe, have stated that these lights are a risk to children. Governments are supposed to have a duty of care to their citizens. But that's not what I say. What I say is a total disregard, not only of the duty of care, but of the law. Can your local council, can your government roll a weapon system out on top of you? That's what you've got to ask yourself. Or have they just declared war on you and they haven't told you?
And this is the part that I don't understand. You know, when a car company or an airplane manufacturer rolls out a new product, they test it and they make sure that all the parts are working and there are no crashes and so on before they roll it out. But 4G, for example, the wavelengths travel along the surface of the skin, and 5G has the ability to penetrate into the deep tissues of the body, and this causes all sorts of cancer, as you're saying.
Absolutely. Well, all product development, all fits within a set of standards. And what the standards are integrated, that part of a legal process. So standards are integrated with the law. So let's say if I bring a product to the USA, it's Department of Transport, it isn't DOT approved, I'm looking at a very, very hefty fine with significant sanctions. In fact, the Department of Transport, on numerous occasions where people have shipped equipment into the US that doesn't fit the standards, they shut those companies down, you know, and went after the directors. In fact, let's get the businesses, and the penalties are pretty severe. So that's what happens when you don't have standards on products. These telecoms, there's no standards. You've got a bunch of guidelines, and 5G actually breaches those guidelines. 5G is absolutely in breach of those guidelines, and the reason why the recent congressional hearing when Senator Blumenthal asked the question to the industry whether there was any safety data or any research had been done in relation to safety data, he was actually told that all flying blind, that there wasn't any. And like I said, what I've always maintained, there won't be any, is the weather.
You know, what I don't get is that it's well known that wireless radiation can cause cancers, neurological problems, immune system problems, reproductive harm. And there have been over 10,000 studies worldwide have been conducted on the health effects of microwave radiation. But here's the problem, and on the human body. But did you know that microwave radiation causes dramatic changes to living cells without the need to heat the cell? And this is how they're, I believe, how they're getting around the problem. Correct me if I'm wrong. They're investigating the effects of microwaves by only looking at the higher power thermal effect.
That's correct. The IC and IOP guys only look at, they just do not, these aren't even scientists. I mean, we're talking about criminals here who've just got a total disregard for the law. You can't call them scientists. I mean, I've had words with a few of them and said, well, you're not a scientist. I mean, you might have certificates you can hang on the wall, but that doesn't make you a scientist. Scientists' main function has to be able to assess all of the relevant published peer-reviewed papers on a particular subject. And you have to be able to look at everything in the round. And you've got to then, and then that's when you then have a decision or make a decision. These characters, no, give them another name. But anyway, these characters have stated clearly that their guidelines, well, they don't say that. If you actually go to the ICNIRP's website, you'll see there's a disclaimer on the website for anything they say, anything. They basically say we're talking a complete load of rubbish. If you read between the lines, it tells you it's a complete load of rubbish and they're not responsible for anything that they say. Now, how can you have a regulatory guideline body that cannot be held responsible for the misinformation, for the fabrication and the lie where people will and or die? How can you have that? That's impossible. And these people have actually decided just not to totally disregard any of the non-thermal biological effects that have been witnessed and been shown in very, very many published peer-reviewed scientific and very, very well-respected scientific journals. It's just, well, like I said before, I'm a weapons expert and I find it unbelievable. It is absolutely unbelievable how we've ended up in this such a state where these criminals have allowed themselves to get themselves in these positions of power where something as absolutely outrageous as could have ever happened.
Well, I'll put this out there now and we'll just discuss it on part two, but I'm just confused as to how people are not waking up to this reality. I mean, when you think of the studies on cancer rates that have shown that homes that are located in close proximity to, say, a 4G tower are 3 to 5 times more likely to develop cancer. But yet, there's this fast track going on for 5G without taking proper precautions. I just don't understand. If 4G is causing cancer and 5G is not being investigated, I want to tell you folks what we can do and also the toxicity of metals in the air. That combination, because people think, well, I don't see it. Must not be happening. Well, you're breathing them. You're eating them. They're inside your body. You need to chelate yourself, not kill, chelate yourself. All these metals around your body, when you turn on these towers and these transmitters, what's going to happen to our body, which is the majority is water? And this is obviously having a relationship with water. But how can people learn more about your work, Mark, also about your legal case? How can they help too?
Anybody goes to, we've got a crowd justice fund there, and what we're doing to fight is personal injury claims against these local authorities. Get them into court. Let's see this tested in a court of law. And that fund's called Let Justice Be Done, Though the Heavens Fall. And the reason why we're called it that's a very, very old statement, a legal statement. It was said many, many years ago. It's in Latin, and it was actually attributed to the emancipation of slaves, where the judiciary had been warned by the government, whatever you do, don't get rid of slavery, because obviously we've got all these plantations and we've got, you know, the economy's going to suffer. And the judiciary came back, held the government to account, and said, no, this is the law, right? We're going to repeal slavery. And the judge stated, let justice be done, though the heavens fall. And that was because they'd been told that the whole economy, everything would collapse. However, the judiciary in that instance did the right thing. So the reason for the Crown Justice Fund, right, having the same state is because I'm talking to the judiciary. So anybody reading that, any lawyer reading, they understand the implications of what we're talking about here. If we don't stop this crime, he died. That's all that's going to happen. We're allowing a kill grid, and basically, instead of during the final solution, instead of people being rolled up and taken to camps to gas and burn, they're building the camp around you. They are building the equipment to burn you in your home. We've already seen the evidence in South Korea. We've seen the evidence in Paradise. We'll see evidence is the more they build this kill grid, that's exactly what it is, the more they build this kill grid out, right, the more chance there is to have every biological structure on the planet annihilated. So consequently, it's very important that everybody gets involved. No matter where you are, who you think you are, people need to step up. This is time to get off the computers and start to step up and take action. We have the law on our side. It may not be easy. It was never going to be easy. I mean, my trials and tribulations are potentially could be in prison as of the 9th of May, where I've got a local authority who are trying their best to shut me up. The reason why they're trying to shut me up is they have acted illegally. And obviously the implications are pretty dire for them. I've already made that quite clear to them. Because we win this. We don't lose. We win. I implore everybody that's listening to this show, get involved. Get involved in the US. Get involved everywhere. 5G is a killer. If we allow it to just roll on, we allow this just to carry on, this will kill all biological life. I've looked at some of the technologies, I've looked at the capacity that some of these technologies have to harm, but also to destroy the planet. And it's right across the West, it's right across China, it's right across South Korea. I mean, there was an article the other day in Bangkok where people were bleeding from the eyes, bleeding from the nose, were bleeding from the mouth. Microwave radiation will, in fact, cause eye bleeds, sore eyes, bad heads, neurological disorders, cancer rates, like you said before, Mel, stratospheric brain cancers in children, stratospheric. In fact, there's just an article a couple of weeks ago where they've got a 5G tower in a schoolyard in the US where four children in one class, developed cancer. Yeah. In the last year. So, you know, when did we ever go to school and children, not only did they not self-harm, children going around shooting people, children, I mean, imagine being tortured for this type of neurological psychoactive microwave radiation. I mean, it's psychoactive. This is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, they're torturing children in schools.
Hold it right there, Mark. Hold it right there because we have to break the segments. But when we come back, we're definitely going to get into more. We're going to go more in depth about this because if you think about Wi-Fi and how bad that was, and this is many, many years ago when we had Barry Trower on the show telling me how Wi-Fi was being rolled out in schools and how the eggs inside of girls could be burned. And that's going to be showing in the next 15, 20 years when they cannot become pregnant or they get cancers. All those things were being told 10 years ago. Imagine what's happening now, and this is before even 4G. But let's take a pause. We'll be right back with Mark Steele. This is Mel Fabregas, and you are listening to Veritas. See you in the member section.
Thank you for listening to the first part of this very important Veritas interview. To listen to the rest and all of our material, proceed to the members section or subscribe at veritasradio.com. Don't forget to visit the Veritas store for MMS, hemp oil, pure organic sulfur, and other great products. Thank you.